listening to Sermons at St. Mary's, homilies of Father Don Nectarius Hawk, recorded live at St. Mary's Antiochian Orthodox Christian Church in Omaha, Nebraska.
At that time, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read?" And the lawyer answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered right. Do this and you will live." But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three do you think proved neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" The lawyer said, "The one who showed mercy on him." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Good morning. We all are very familiar with this parable of our Lord. I would say probably that this particular parable and the parable of the prodigal son are the two most well-known in the Scriptures. Even by non-Christians, even by non-believers, because they're so powerful, so profound, so significant for what our Lord was trying to teach the people. And so I'm not going to really go into the details about that this morning, but I want to talk about something a little different with regard to this story. I want for us for a moment to reflect upon this encounter of our Lord with a lawyer. I told the kids this morning I was going to talk about lawyers today. John Nimmer's back there going, you know, wiping his head and everything. But one of the things that I said, and this is very important to understand as we try to reflect and take away from this particular story, this encounter of our Lord, what was going on here? Because here we have the encounter of God in the flesh with one who was an expert in the law. That was the role of the lawyer in those days. When we say the word lawyer, we tend to think of someone in a courtroom who's arguing for or against a case and an arbiter, someone trying to be an advocate for someone. That particular function did not exist in Israel, so to speak, especially for the word lawyer. The lawyers were the ones, and they were also called scribes, by the way. The lawyers and scribes were the ones who studied intently the letter of the law of Moses. They were experts at it. They knew every, as we say, jot and tittle, which are actually Hebrew words, descriptions of certain elements of the Hebrew language, little curvy lines and all these other kind of things that Jesus was referring to, that nothing of the law would pass away until it was fulfilled in Him. Not a jot or a tittle. Not a little squirrely line or a period or anything like that would pass away until it was fulfilled in Christ, who is the ultimate lawgiver, isn't He? He's the one who created us. He's the one who gave us, through Moses in the Old Testament, the law. And so this lawyer was an expert. And another function of lawyers in those days in ancient Israel was to be a teacher to the young, to the youth. Kind of like our Sunday school teachers today. Although it wasn't Sunday school, it was Saturday school. Because that's the Sabbath for the Jews. And so lawyers were called upon. They studied, they went to school. They were even set apart by the people, by the leadership, the spiritual leaders, the priests of the people to impart to the people of Israel the law and to help them understand it. So when this man came to Jesus, he asked a question that he already knew the answer to. That's why Luke says a lawyer came up to Jesus to test Him. Just like he tested his students, right? In the classroom. And that question, of course, was a generic question. What must I do to be saved? And notice what the Lord does in this particular encounter. He could have said, well, you know, you remember, as you read back in the Torah, in the book of Leviticus, if you eat this kind of food or that kind of food, then it's unclean. Or if you go this way or that way on the Sabbath or do work on the Sabbath, then you're not pleasing to God. He could have really expounded on the prescriptions of the law to this man, knowing that he knew them himself, but he didn't do that, did he? He directed him to what St. Paul calls the law of love. The law of love. And of course, he turned it back on him and he said, What does it say in the scriptures? How do you read? Tell me your interpretation of this. Tell me what you are teaching our children. And of course, the man answered rightly, as the Lord said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The two greatest commandments, based upon nothing else but love. Not based upon following prescriptions, not based upon doing the right thing, because we know from St. Paul's writings that that does not work in the eyes of God. Even though it's important, it's not the indicator of our relationship with God. It flows from something else. It flows from the law of love, which is deeply embedded by the Holy Spirit in the heart. You see, the lawyer had it backwards, didn't he? He tried to, by his actions and by his following the prescriptions of the law, try to show them to God, to display them to God and say, here, God, this is proof that I'm connected with you, that I have a relationship with you. Where the reality is, beloved, that if it's not in the heart, because that's where it begins, then all it is following rules. That's why St. Paul tells us that the law does not save. It's a schoolmaster, it's a teacher that brings us to the one who is love. The one who teaches us by His own life and by the power of His Holy Spirit, embedded deeply within our souls as temples of the Holy Spirit, to love God and to love one another. So, What is our takeaway from this? What is this law of love? What is it that we are called upon to embrace, beloved? Obviously, it's not the law of Moses, because that was fulfilled in Christ. But what is this law of love? Well, I believe that it is a reality. That's really probably no better way to describe it. A reality that the Holy Spirit sets deeply into our hearts. A sense of awe and wonder and worship and adoration of God. A sense of closeness to Him. A sense of awareness of His presence that cultivates in us a desire to be like Him. Think about this in our human relationships. We talk about love. How can we explain that when we say that we love our spouse or we love our children or our children love us or whatever? I mean, anytime we use that word, how do we empirically describe it? It's very difficult, isn't it? Very difficult. But just because it's difficult to describe doesn't mean it's not real. And so when the Holy Spirit plants that within us, not because we're doing this or doing that or following this rule or this commandment or whatever, when the Holy Spirit plants that awareness in us of who we are, of who God is, and how we are to relate to Him, then when we come to Him with a humble heart and an open heart, then He begins to reveal Himself to us as the one who not only is the lover of our souls, but the one who desires us to love Him with all of our whole being. And then, of course, that love flows out from us to others. And that's why the second part of that great commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, is also included in this. We as Orthodox Christians, beloved, could possibly tend to struggle with this. And I'll tell you why. Because we have many prescriptions that are given to us, right? God has revealed to us many things that we are to do. Many realities and truths that we are to immerse ourselves into in the life of this kingdom. And sometimes the tendency, because we humans tend to kind of be attracted to having our identity with things that we can do and can do right. I think that's part perhaps of our fallenness. We tend to kind of think, well, this is who I am because I can do this or I can do that. That's a very dangerous, slippery slope because, like I said, our faith is full of prescriptions, you know, fasting and prayer and coming to liturgy and receiving the sacraments and reading the scriptures and feeding the hungry and the poor, all of the things that we're given opportunities to do. And so that law of love places on us not necessarily, well, yes, an obligation to do it, but also a desire to do it. Because that's where it should come from. It should come from within our hearts because of our love for God and our love for one another. That's what motivates us to do these things. Not what gives us the self-satisfaction and the conclusion that, well, because I do this and I do that and everything else, then God accepts me and loves me. You see the difference between these two? It's very important to understand that. There's a lot of ways in which the law of love is displayed in our lives. We display it, of course, or I should say it's actualized when we draw near to God and involve ourselves in everything that we're supposed to do as Orthodox Christians. That actualizes where our heart is. That brings into being what's really there inside us all along. And so if it's not there, then we don't value things like fasting and prayer, drawing near to God, doing all the things that He asks us to do as Orthodox Christians. But if we love Him and value Him, then that's what we're going to do with joy and with gladness. And embrace it, because even though it's difficult and a challenge, we still with humility embrace it because of our love for Him and our love for one another. So that love is displayed, and Jesus brought one example of that today in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Love was displayed by having compassion upon the one who was in dire need, drawing near to him and helping him, and not going by on the other side, like the priest and the Levite did. By the way, there is, according to some scholars, perhaps a justifiable reason why the priest did not stop. Okay? That priest was probably on his way to prayers in the synagogue, more than likely, and he would have involved himself in a ritually unclean act if he had stopped and touched that man who was bleeding, right? Who was, very in dire straits, but that perhaps was the reason why the priest didn't stop. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to conjecture that, but perhaps that's a reason some Bible scholars give. But that's not the point. Our point from the Lord is that when we embrace the law of love, when we embrace those two great commandments, loving God and one another, it will be displayed in a running to help the other. Looking around and looking around in our world and saying, okay, who can I help? Who can I minister to? Who can I reach out to? Who's hurting? And of course, that's what we do as Christians. Now, whether or not it's received by the person on the other end, that's up to them. Sometimes they receive it, sometimes they don't. That still doesn't lessen the fact that we should do it. Sometimes that law of love is expressed in a more directive way. Those of us who are parents, grandparents, we saw very proud parents this morning and proud grandparents when Addison was churched. Sometimes the law of love in those particular relationships in families takes on a more directive role, where parents sometimes have to stand in the way and even preventing their children from going down a direction or a road that's going to bring harm to them, right? Is that no less love? Of course, we know it's love. We know it's love. And the same holds true in the family of God. Our spiritual parents sometimes are the ones who will say to us, hold on, you know what's going to happen if you go down that road. Stop. That's why our Lord comes to us all the time and says, stop the direction that you're going and turn around and go the other way, which we call repentance. So that law of love, beloved, is what governs us. It's what dictates the reality of our lives. Not in following this prescription or this law or that rule. Although we do those, we do follow them. The Orthodox Church gives us an abundance of them. It makes all the difference in the world how we look at them and how we look at ourselves as we immerse ourselves into those realities. The lawyer didn't get it. He didn't understand that. He thought that just by, regurgitating back to Jesus what he had taught and what he had learned from the law would be sufficient for Jesus to say to him, oh, you not have only said right, but you're doing it right. That's why Luke says the lawyer desired to justify himself. Ask that second question, who is my neighbor? Beloved, we are not called upon to justify ourselves before God. We're called upon, unlike the lawyer, to humbly fall at his feet. Like those blind men whom Jesus healed, many of them, who recognized their blindness, who said, Son of David, have mercy on me, and approached him in humility, knowing that nothing they could do would save them, but only His mercy and His goodness and His loving kindness would do that. So let's learn the lesson from this parable today, beloved, that the lawyer didn't seem to grasp. And let's, from this day forward, purpose in our hearts to love God with every ounce of our being. And to ask Him, if we don't know how to do that, ask Him to reveal that to us. He does all the time, by the way. He's even now revealing that to us as we're here. And then, of course, expanding that in our hearts, loving our neighbor as ourselves. And the Lord will give us the opportunities. He'll give us the desire. He'll give us the motivation. And as we cooperate with that, His name will be glorified in our lives. May it be so for the glory of His name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
Thanks for listening. Find us online by searching St. Mary Orthodox Omaha or at facebook.com/stmaryomaha.